I speak to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Companions on the way. He's a tall, thin man. His long, dark hair is caught in a ponytail, and the goatee emphasizes, rather than hides, his missing teeth. He came striding into the room. His presence filled the space. He gives the impression that he is accustomed to taking charge. Articulate and passionate, his ancient eyes did not miss much. It soon became clear that it was his agenda, not mine, that would shape our conversation. We were there to talk about a project on recovery, and he had been referred to me by a trusted friend and colleague. My hope was to gather information on what users experience as best practices in dealing with substance use. I wanted to hear another voice on recovery. So his story emerged over the hour we spent together. Some of it was told to test the waters. Was this just another church lady? His words, not mine. I don't wear a hat, so I don't see how I could be a church lady a la Saturday Night Live, but that's another conversation. Or was this to be a real engagement? He talked of his life as a high-level drug dealer in a major city, how he had gained and lost homes, businesses, and fortunes. And I wondered at the time whether this was bravado, a bit of making up stories just to have some importance. But then the painful parts of his story unfolded, how he had to choose to become clean and sober or die. How recovery was searingly hard. How today he chooses to work for an organization that accepts and cares for people who are actively using. How now, years later, he has a wife and a family. How what he demands from anyone who wishes to become involved is authentic compassion and not stigma. He sees a fit for people of faith to work alongside him, but they must, in his words, be the faith they proclaim. Habits. Habits, especially those of long standing, can be difficult to break, whether they're related to substance use or are the lenses of expectations which fall into place as we go about our daily lives. Habits or addictions have been a part of human life from the beginning in some ways. And we see many instances in the scriptures. And one example is today's reading from Acts. So we have the story of a man born unable to walk. Every morning, some folk are found to take him to beg. I find it interesting that the people who take him to one place and to a prime location, I expect, the beautiful gate, so named because of the Corinthian brass pillars, apparently. I find the juxtaposition a little bit ironic. Begging was an accepted practice. As one author writes, it was akin to an informal social assistance program based loosely on Mosaic law. So this was his daily habit, to be carried to the gate, to set himself up to look appropriately needy, prepared to smile at everyone, and with just the right amount of deference, ask for alms. He had learned how to play on the guilt of people who came to worship at the temple. He would sit there through the day, hoping to glean enough from the alms to house, clothe, and feed himself. So as we come into this story on that day, he was well into the familiar pattern of begging. It was afternoon when Peter and John arrived. We're told it was about 3 o'clock, a time when traditionally a sacrifice would be offered with prayers. One would suspect that there would be a number of worshippers hurrying through the gate around that time. It seems as though religious observances had continued on as usual in the temple, despite the events of the last while. Jesus' triumphal arrival in Jerusalem, the decision by religious leaders to hand Jesus over to be crucified, the tearing of the great curtain at the moment of his death, and then his resurrection. Now we know all this is about to change in the temple, but for this moment when Peter and John come, all is as usual, it seems. The nameless man lifts his eyes up to the two men who have approached them and, as usual, asks for some alms. Peter looks intently at him and demands the man really look at them. Not like the guilt-driven worshippers who would throw a few pennies toward him as they rushed through the gate for worship. But look and encounter each other as human beings at a beginning of a relationship. And in that moment, he becomes a person, a unique individual, not merely a cripple. This is profound. If you've ever spoken with someone who's had to go on the streets to beg to survive, they talk about how quickly they feel as though they've lost identity, their sense of self, and feel relegated to the twilight existence of a non-person. That makes the moment even more profound. And habits are hard to change for the man as he looks at the two apostles, still hoping for something. That hope is shattered when Peter says, "We don't have any money to give you." You can imagine the inward sigh, slumping of his shoulders as the beggar begins to turn away, looking for someone else. And then there is the but. "But what I have, I give you. What I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk." The man finds his right hand grasped by Peter as he is helped up. Something's different. He discovers he can walk. His legs are strong. He joins with them. And they walk into the temple praising God, and some translations say he danced, rejoicing and praising God. All who knew him were amazed. Each of us at some point in our lives have felt like the lame man, sidelined by something that seemed beyond our control. Caught on the outside of a beautiful gate of possibilities, allowed only scraps, the leftovers from others' casual generosity. And if we hear from that vantage point the words of Jesus in today's gospel, "Do not let your heart be troubled," it can seem like a platitude. And as we've heard, it was confusing to the disciples. But in all of that, Jesus tells them and us something important about where he is going. To the Father is a relationship, not a place. These many dwelling places reveal to us not changes in geography, but changes of heart, changes in perspective. Life with him is not a destination or an accomplishment or a victory won, as much as it is a way of being and becoming. Transformation happens. A change of heart from troubled to peace-filled embraces those disciples as they learn along the way that Jesus has come with them and goes ahead to prepare a place. We hear Peter embrace it when he says, "I give you all that I have." A destination like that changes everything. Companionship like this changes everything. The gate where the man born lame sat is a place where many of us have lingered. It's a place where habit pushes us to ignore possibilities and remain oblivious to the beckoning presence of the risen Christ. Sitting at the entrance, yet looking away from the love and grace, seeking only crumbs. This is a theology of paucity and abandonment, where prayer fades and isolation lives. Life in Christ is a way of being and becoming. It is moving through the beautiful gates into a place of change, transformation, and healing. It is relationship. It is companionship. Walking with, bringing others into our dance with the divine. Those that we offer our hands to in comfort, support, and nurture through the joy of belonging and prayer. My new friend demands that people see each other without artifice. And it is no less than he demands of himself. His journey of recovery has included sitting by a beautiful gate haunted by what had seemed to be impossible. He has relinquished life as a person in the shadows. He has moved into the growing grace of healing. A few days after we first met, I had the opportunity to be introduced to his wife and children. And as I looked into the clear blue eyes of his bouncy 3-year-old daughter, I saw a miracle. Amen.